Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. My name's Eric Vail, and I'm glad to see that everybody set their clocks back an hour, because if you didn't, you've been here for an hour waiting for worship to start, and guess what? Here we go. I just wanted to welcome everybody this morning, and we're thankful and glad that you're here. If you are a relatively new worshiper with us, we are very thankful you're here. If you've been here for a long time, keep coming back, because we so much enjoy having you here on a Sunday basis. During the time of offering, if you would, pass the hospitality register, which is a little notepad in the pews, sign your name, and take a look at the name of the folks next to you or around you if you don't know who they are. Take some time to introduce yourself, because that's how we get to know each other. If you have any questions or concerns after worship, Elder Lauren Henderberg will be at the communion table to receive your comments and questions, so please stop and see Lauren. And this morning, we do have a few announcements, so we'll start with Charlie. Sue.
Now, everybody here knows who this gentleman is. He's 42 years old, same age as I am. This is Charlie the Church Mouse, and he's here to tell you, or to ask you, I should say, to take the insert out of your bulletin and make sure you fill it out. This is a sign-up sheet for the people who are looking for help, baked food sale, the baked foods area, and tearing the church apart on Friday night, putting the church back together on Saturday night. There are lots of chances to sign up, so please make sure that you fill out that thing. And Charlie and I will both be very thankful. I do not like to get up here, so don't look for me again. Fill it out. Thank you.
Good morning, Bob Benko. Just to remind everyone that fall cleanup is next Saturday at 8:30. There'll be donuts, hot coffee, cider, and juice. And the weather is supposed to be perfect, 79 degrees, sunny, and everything. Or maybe that's the spring cleanup. So anyway, next Saturday, I'll see you here.
Good morning. This past summer, the Benko family experienced our latest chapter in our adoption story by visiting South Korea. And next Sunday, right after church, in the adult lounge, we'll be presenting about not only our trip to Korea, but kind of a very concise story about our adoption journey, which is always continuing. Thank you.
Good morning. Larry Wakeman here on behalf of the generosity team. And dessert first. The remaining giving packets have been mailed out, so if you didn't pick them up in the church, they're on the way through the U.S. Post system. Next Sunday is when we're looking to bring those back. So we're calling it Celebration Sunday or Generosity Sunday. We'll have desserts outside the sanctuary. But that doesn't mean you have to eat them outside the sanctuary. You can bring them in. We'll have soft jazz playing, right? That's right. Soft jazz group. So you have entertainment, you can have your dessert, and celebrate all of God's blessings. So make sure you bring back your giving intentions cards. If you forgot them, we'll have a few in the back. And one other note for Church Mouse is we're looking for a co-chair for next year. I'm staying on, but Sherry is got too many other tasks going on, so she won't be back. So please see me if you're willing to do that. And now is the time to do it so we can have you train. Okay. Thank you very much.
As you know, I started a new job, and it's at the HEAL Collaborative at Strong. We provide trauma therapy to men and women who have experienced interpartner violence. If you look in your bulletin, there is a paragraph about needs that we have. A lot of these people are fleeing abusive situations, so they need hygiene items and things like that. There is a rack over by the coats where you can put those in, and then I will take them to work. We do work with Willow, but because of location, we're at Strong Hospital, and they're at another location, and it's often difficult to get the supplies that you donate to Willow to Heal, so this makes it easier. I can take it to work with me, and that will be permanently up in the back by the coats. Thank you, everybody.
Good morning. Mary Hadley on behalf of the Designated Pastor Nominating Committee, affectionately known as DPNC. This is the last Sunday to fill out an information form. If you haven't done so already, we really are interested in your input. We'll be using this to create the application form for pastors that will apply for Gates Presbyterian as our designated pastor. And we're meeting next week, so we really would like to have your input. We've gotten a pretty good chunk of input so far, but we haven't received from everybody. So the forms are outside of the sanctuary by the big green box. Please fill them out, and we'll give you more information soon as the process rolls along. Thanks.
That completes the list. Was there anybody else that had anything to share this morning? As you can see, Gates Presbyterian Church is a very active church, both inside this facility and outside in the community. So if you need to know or want to know more about what we are and who we are, in your bulletin there's a calendar of events on the website. There is a multitude of resources available, and also our monthly newsletter called The Harbinger, which are extra copies outside in the rack. And following worship today, you're invited to go to the fellowship hall, which is down the hall to the end, for coffee and conversation, so please join us after worship for that. Lastly, as far as my announcements go, if you have a cell phone on currently, if you'd like to either turn it off or send it to vibrate, that would be so much appreciated. Thank you. This morning, I'd like to welcome Reverend Carolyn Groman to our guest pulpit supply pastor preacher. As many times as Carolyn has been here, she told me, in Presbytery meetings, she's never preached. So we're very glad to have you here this morning, Carolyn, and look forward to having you back in a couple of weeks as well. So we look forward to worshiping with you. So at this time, let us pause, take a breath, contemplate, as we prepare our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our entire beings to worship our great God.
Thank you.
Would you stand if you are able and comfortable and join me in the call to worship? We cry out to God for the help we need. How will we know we have been heard?
Trials and temptations. God sends visions of new possibilities.
Surely God is in this place and will give us understanding. God is recalling us to the values we have neglected.
We seek to grow in faith and in love for one another. We would learn to do good and to work for justice.
Thank you.
Would you at this time join me in the prayer of confession you find in your bulletin, knowing that God's ear is always open and listening to our prayers? All-knowing God, we confess our complicity in the evil that is consuming our world. We gladly accept for ourselves the power and advantages that come our way. We seldom consider the cost to others of our prosperity. We tolerate poverty, hunger, and homelessness for people we do not know. We think our small efforts are too insignificant to make a difference. Wash away, O God, the evil that paralyzes us, that we may become rescuers of the oppressed and seekers after justice. Create in us a right spirit that prompts us to live by faith and to dare great things for you. Amen. Let us now pause and share our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Friends, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
The children to come up and join me up here for time with the children. My name is Pastor Carolyn. I am glad to see you this morning. We had a very special day this past Thursday. Can you tell me what day it was? Halloween, right. Did you get all dressed up and go out trick-or-treating in your neighborhood? You got wet, it rained on you, but you had lots of fun anyway, and you had lots of chocolate. Well, I brought a Halloween decoration. Since Halloween was just a few days ago, maybe you saw some houses with decorations like this. Maybe. Obviously, it's a skeleton with lots of bones. So I wanted to talk to you this morning about bones. Do you have bones in your body? Yeah, can you point to some of your bones? Yeah, we all have bones. Our bones do different things, don't they? We have arm bones, we have hand bones, we have chest bones, we have leg bones, foot bones, all kinds of bones. Each bone is important, and each bone does a different task, a different function. There's a lot in the Bible about the congregation like this, being like a body with many members. And so that means if it is a body, it's a body with bones. So we're not talking literally about bones being part of this congregation, but all the people here are made up of bones. And each bone is different, and each bone does different things. So sometimes the people who do things that use leg bones, they take up the offering in worship. They pass out bulletins using their hands and standing using their leg bones. They speak using their head bones and their chest bones. Many different people with many different kinds of bones doing many different kinds of things. You are part of this body of Christ. You are very important as a part of this body. So I want you to think a little bit about what you can do to be a part of this body using bones. Some of you like to run and dance, jump up and down. You're using your leg bones, your foot bones. You also help others to do things. Sometimes you might want to give people a hug. You use your arm bones for that. You, some of you sing in the children's choir, do you? You use your head bone, your neck bone, your chest bones to breathe properly. All kinds of bones. You are very important as a part of this congregation, and I hope you know that. You are part of this body of Christ, using the bones that you have to help proclaim the importance of being a part of this church. So I hope you will know that you are an important member of this body, using the bones that you have. Please join me in prayer. Can we stand up and form a circle? Okay, we'll include you over there. Okay, can we just join hands in a circle? Come on. Come on. And repeat after me. Thank you, God, that you have called us, children and grown-ups, to be a part of the body of this church. Help us always to remember that you love us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming.
Our first reading this morning comes from 2 Thessalonians, the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Other ancient authorities read what we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as it is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his cause and will fulfill by his power every good sense, and that all the names of our Lord and Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God add a blessing to this, his holy word.
Our gospel lesson for today is from Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. The story of Zacchaeus. Listen for the word of God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For most of us, if we know anything at all about Zacchaeus, it was that he was short, so short that he had to climb a tree to see Jesus. The fact that Zacchaeus was short not only helps us to remember him, but also encourages us to feel sorry for him. We feel sorry for the little guy, the one who can't see at a parade because taller people in front block the view. Luke's inclusion of this human interest detail captures our attention and makes us sympathetic toward Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus was not the good guy. He was the bad guy. In fact, we can use the word short as a metaphor to describe Zacchaeus' character. He was short on honesty and integrity. He was short on fairness and decency. He was short on generosity and concern for others. You see, Zacchaeus was a tax collector for the Roman government that occupied Palestine during Jesus' day. Not only was he a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now, how do you suppose he got to be rich? Well, it was certainly not by inheriting money from a rich uncle. He got rich by cheating the people, by taking more money from them than he should have. It was as though the IRS sent their agents to our houses to collect what we owe in income taxes. But the IRS agents added to the tax bill something for themselves and something for their supervisor, the chief tax collector. So the chief tax collector padded his pockets with money from every single person who paid their taxes. No wonder Zacchaeus was rich. He was also despised by the people, not only for cheating them, but also for working for the hated Roman government. Zacchaeus was seen not only as a dishonest crook, but also as a betrayer of the Jewish people. He was definitely short, not only in stature, but also in character. But then the crook met the Christ, and the crook began to grow taller. Actually, his growth in character began before he met Jesus. Something or someone, could it have been the Holy Spirit, prompted Zacchaeus to run ahead of the crowd and climb the sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus when Jesus came down the road. And Jesus, looking up and seeing Zacchaeus in the tree, did something quite outrageous, according to Emily Post's book on etiquette. Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house for dinner and to spend the night. But Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was happy to welcome Jesus. We don't know quite when Zacchaeus began to feel sorry for his sins and to repent. What we do know is that somewhere along the way, he began to feel remorse for the way he had taken money from the poor and had cheated his own people. He began to acknowledge his own guilt and sinfulness. And as he confronted his own sin and his need for repentance and forgiveness, he began to grow taller in character. Finally, he said, in effect, to Jesus, "Look, I know I'm rich because I have cheated the people, and I know that's wrong. So I will make amends. I will give half of my possessions to the poor, and I will pay back four times what I have taken from people in fraud." And when Zacchaeus said that, he grew much taller. Now, it's interesting that Zacchaeus saw the need not only to make reparations to the people he had cheated, but also to relinquish some of his wealth by sharing it with the poor. Apparently, the Holy Spirit had given Zacchaeus a crash course on justice, for Zacchaeus was now expressing concern about injustice and what he could do to correct it. In fact, what he volunteered to do dealt with both kinds of injustice: systemic injustice, which is rooted in the social systems we live in, and personal injustice, which comes from our own personal decisions and habits. Systemic injustice is what creates a permanent underclass, the poor that we always have with us, because as a society, we have not treated them fairly or paid them adequately or given them a chance to gain a foothold on the ladder of success. We have exploited the poor, particularly the working poor, and have profited from an unjust system that depends on a permanent underclass. Zacchaeus did not engage Jesus in a discussion on the causes of poverty or the abuses of welfare or whether the poor deserved to be helped. Zacchaeus simply said, "I will give half of my possessions to the poor." Zacchaeus saw the injustices of his society and acted to do his part in correcting them, and in so doing, he grew taller. Zacchaeus also committed himself to correcting the personal injustices that he was individually responsible for, the people he had cheated. He did not try to wiggle out of his responsibility by laying the blame on someone else. Nor did he try to justify his dishonesty by saying that everyone does it. He simply said, "I will pay back four times as much to anyone I have defrauded of anything." By accepting responsibility for his actions and by promising to make amends, he grew much taller. And then Jesus, seeing that Zacchaeus had truly repented, offered him forgiveness and salvation. It's important that we understand the sequence of events here. First, Zacchaeus was sorry for his sin. Then he repented. That is, he did a complete turnaround and went in the other direction. That's what the word repent means, to turn around and go the other way. It isn't repentance if all you do is say you're sorry for your sins, but keep right on sinning. Repentance involves stopping what you are doing that is sinful and doing instead what is right. Zacchaeus truly repented of his sin, and then Jesus could forgive him. Repentance comes first, and then forgiveness. Once Zacchaeus repented of his sin, of systemic and personal injustice, and promised to make amends, Jesus forgave him and said, "Today salvation has come to this house." We assume that Zacchaeus, out of gratitude for being forgiven and saved, then did what he had promised to do. And in so doing, Zacchaeus grew so tall that he was no longer short. And what about us? Are any of us short? Do any of us need to repent of systemic or personal injustice? If I'm honest with myself, I have to answer yes to those questions. And perhaps you do too. If that's the case, then we need to ask ourselves, what can we do to make amends for any unjust decisions we might have participated in? And what can we do to relinquish some of our wealth in order to share it with the poor? During the fall in most Presbyterian churches, our attention turns to stewardship. Stewardship is our response of gratitude for all the blessings that we have received, especially the blessings of forgiveness and salvation. Stewardship is our opportunity to say thank you to God. We may not feel led to give half of our possessions to the poor, as Zacchaeus did, but we can give in proportion to our income. Perhaps 10%, the biblical tithe, or at least 5%, to enable this church to continue its rich history of ministry and mission. You are in the middle of your stewardship campaign in this church. Next Sunday, November 10th, you will dedicate your pledges for the coming year. As you prayerfully consider how much you will pledge, remember that stewardship is your opportunity to say thank you to God for the many blessings you have received. The late Anne Weems, a Presbyterian elder and poet, in her book, Searching for Shalom, has a poem entitled Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, small and sinful, according to the scriptures, didn't want the parade to pass him by. Zacchaeus, little and lost, according to the scriptures, climbed a sycamore tree to see this Jesus. Zacchaeus, chief tax collector and cheat, according to the scriptures, was called by Jesus. Zacchaeus, rich and ready to give, according to the scriptures, gave exuberantly, cheerfully, abundantly. Zacchaeus sought and saved, according to the scriptures, understood that stewardship is the thank you of the heart. According to the scriptures, so do we. Jesus called out to Zacchaeus and went to his house in order to help him grow taller. As Zacchaeus grew taller and was no longer short, he realized that stewardship is the thank you of the heart. Is Jesus calling out to you today, asking to come to your house in order to help you grow taller?
Thank you.
We come to our time of offering, remembering the many ways in which God has blessed us. It is our privilege to be able to return a portion of what we have received in gratitude. So let us now present our tithes and our offerings unto God in gratitude for the blessings we have received.
Join me in the prayer of dedication you'll find in your bulletin. O God, all that we have is yours. All your children are our brothers and sisters. We are the inheritors of your grace. You have blessed us abundantly. Now bless what we share, that our love for one another may increase.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and from west, from north and from south, to sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is Christ's table. Our Savior invites all those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise. So with all the reformers and saints who have gone before us, with friends and neighbors sitting around with us, we lift our songs of praise to you.
Holy, 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 God of justice and righteousness. Blessed is the one who comes to call us home. Hosanna in the highest.
Christ died. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Sent to be our Savior, he took our flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. His words are true. His touch brings healing to all who follow him. He gives abundant life. When evil sought to destroy him, he lay down in the darkness of death. You raised him from the grave. He is our risen Lord forever. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this wine from you and the gifts you have given us, and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as living and holy offering of ourselves, that our life may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ died, faithful to the end. Christ is risen. Your righteousness come true. Christ will return, our hope and peace. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Number us among your saints, O God, and join us with the faithful of every age, that strengthened by their witness and supported by their fellowship, we may run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when, with the redeemed of all the ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now we continue in prayer, saying the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the power, and the glory forever. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes again." Friends, the gifts of God for the people of God come to the feast which he has prepared.
Thank you.
bread of life given for you. The cup of salvation given for you. Drink you all of it.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a preview of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out with the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and glory. For this we do in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
On All Saints' Day, we are reminded that in every communion service we have, we are joined with the saints who have already left this life and are living with God eternally. We celebrate the communion with the saints. And in particular this day, we remember those who have died in the past year from this congregation, and we celebrate their lives even as we continue to grieve. We invite a representative from the family to come as the name is read and light a candle. Natalie McTarnican.
Phyllis Titus.
Scott Blystone.
Rita Getman.
Margaret Root.
Mary Mae Curran.
Florence Case.
Marjorie Marge Westfall.
Neil Sweetman. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for those saints throughout history who have served as instruments of your love and peace, especially those saints known to us. We remember in particular those in our own families and our church family who have recently died and have gone on to their eternal reward. May the same Spirit who helped them to be faithful in their service and stewardship help us to be faithful in serving you. Amen. Thank you. You were called to this table. You were fed at this table. You were united at this table. Now you are sent from this table into all the world. Go, therefore, into the world with courage. Set a place for all who hunger. Fill the cup of all who thirst. And as you go, may the spirit of power and love attend you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ uphold you. And may the great faithfulness of our God sustain you, now and forever. Amen.